Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, and thanks for joining us on The Breakfast Huddle, Bharati Jagdish and Ryan Huang with you. Now on why it matters, well, according to the recently released Global Startup Ecosystem Report, or GSER, despite the impact caused by COVID-19 and how foreign startup ecosystems have been rapidly catching up to Singapore, we have still managed to maintain our 5th position in Asia and 17th position globally as a startup ecosystem. Of course, all of us being Singaporean probably want to know, hey, how to get to number one? And we are definitely going to be talking more about
that. Only number five, come on, I think we can do better. Well, looking at the report, is fronted by world-leading innovation policy advisory and research firm Startup Genome. And this is done in partnership with the Global Entrepreneurship Network and ACE, Action Committee for Entrepreneurship. And also, this is the National Trade Association representing startups.
Now, Singapore has performed well, of course, in several areas such as funding, connectedness, market reach. But clearly, we have much to improve on in order to maintain and improve our standings, which I'm sure all of you are wondering about. So what really needs to be done for Singapore to be at the forefront of startup ecosystems? We're joined now by Lim Ching Ru, Interim CEO and Board Member at the Action Community for Entrepreneurship. Good morning, Ching Ru.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Ching Ru, let's start with laying the context first around ACE. Now, it's the Action Community for Entrepreneurship, and it's the national voice for the Singapore startup ecosystem, and you represent the interests of startups in Singapore. So talk to us about what it's all about, how many startups you're representing, and what do you hope to achieve with them?
Yep. So Action Community for Entrepreneurship, ACE, we are the National Trade Association for Singapore startups ecosystem. And we were first established by MTI in 2003, and then relaunched as a private sector nonprofit organization in 2014. So we work very closely with the government to ensure that we roll out policies that help to promote startup success in Singapore.
What do you mean by promote when you give them that voice for the startup scene? What do they want, or what do you hope to achieve for them?
Right. Actually, at ACE, we have a lot of programs, and primarily we focus on 5 pillars that are really crucial for an ecosystem. I mean, the startup ecosystem does not solely depend on the startups themselves. You need investors, you need corporates, you need institutions of higher learning, which are the universities, and tertiary education institute, risk capital, which is the VCs and PE firms and public sector. So we catalyze opportunities across these different pillars to further enhance the startup ecosystem. And we have a lot of programs that target each of these different sectors.
I'm sure that COVID-19 has added a new complexion to the startup scene in Singapore. Tell us more about how the pandemic has really impacted the local and regional startup ecosystems here. Are there more opportunities now, perhaps?
Yeah, I think when COVID first came around, there was a lot of uncertainties, but we saw a rise in entrepreneurship despite the job loss. And this is very similar to the narrative or even the situation that I was in back then in 2008 when we had the financial crisis. There were less jobs in the market. I graduated that year and I went out to found my own startup, right? And it was also during that year, I will call it the spring of 2008, that there was a whole lot of startups incubated during that time that were really successful. One of them was around that time was PetSnap, which is already a unicorn, a very well-known unicorn in Singapore. Mm. And there's also MoneySmart, which is also a very well-known financial provider platform. And there is also 2359, which was acquired. So I think in a crisis like this, it naturally breeds entrepreneurship for those who are really driven to do well. And we see it here as well in 2020.
Tell me more about your own experience. You said you started your own startup, right, several years ago. What were the challenges then? How's it going now?
Okay, that's like in my previous life, that's 13 years ago in 2008.
Yeah, you mentioned 2008.
During the financial crisis. Yeah, that's right. I've sold the company in 2014 to a US company, and within 2 months, we listed on the New York Stock Exchange. That was a really good run. We sold to Zendesk, and I think we are seeing a lot more of these stories coming up, but we also see that companies are staying private for longer. You know, at the time that we sold, we were less than $100 million in valuation. Right now, you have companies like PetSnap, which is at $1 billion, beyond $1 billion valuation, but they're still private. And also very similarly, 10 years ago, there were only 14 unicorns in the world. Right now, there are 800 unicorns that's worth a total of $2.6 trillion in valuation. Like, and most of them are actually staying private.
Yeah, Tingru, you mentioned there are more startups coming into the scene right now. So what are some of the demographics and sectors you're looking at? Are you looking at more software-based type of startups? And what is actually a startup? Would a F&B outlet consider to be a startup as well?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get it a lot at ACE. I think at ACE, we really try to support startups that are driven by technology. So you could have an F&B platform that enables like food delivery or faster transactions, or, you know, it could be a POS system that integrates across the different payment vendors. And that would be considered a tech startup by our definition. And we would support through the programs that we have.
Here's the thing, Tingru. While you said, you know, there's been a greater interest in entrepreneurship as there traditionally is during an economic downturn, I'm sure it's not all a bed of roses. What exactly are you doing to help startups with some of the specific challenges they might be facing during this pandemic and this period of prolonged uncertainty? What are those challenges? What are you doing to help?
Yeah, I think, thankfully, you know, we really have an ecosystem going for us here in Singapore. I count myself to be very lucky to be based here. Just looking at the programs that Enterprise Singapore has developed for the startup ecosystem, we have, I can't even keep track of the funds that ran out. But there are programs, and the one of the grants that we focus a lot on is the SG Startup Founder Grant, which gives a startup $50,000 in grant. And if you qualify for it, you need to be a first-time founder, and you need to be like less than a couple of years of incorporation. And, you know, just some of this really basic criteria. And if someone is willing to come in and match the investment, you will get the corresponding funding from Enterprise Singapore. So there is that. And actually, we have been doing that for a long time. I think back then when I was running my own company, I also had a similar $50,000 grant. Back then it was NBA that was disbursing that. And it was equity-free grant, right? And from there, we would draw a salary of $500 a month maximum because they didn't want people to abuse the system. So it was like $500 for salaries and anything else that you want to spend on. So that is from the grant side. But there are also many initiatives. We also have a program called GRT, Global Readiness Talent Program, which funds 70% of an intern salary. And an intern, but the only criteria is that an intern needs to be a tertiary or poly student, ITE student, and we will fund 70% of that. And startups that have selected for these interns can apply to ACE, and we would give out those subsidies as well.
And so you mentioned a lot of programs to help startups, and that seems to be one reason why we are in the top five when it comes to ecosystems for startups in Asia. So you've got this report. What is this all about when it comes to how it's measured, and how do we do better when it comes to going maybe to the top three? I am looking at a report, and I'm looking at China and Japan and Korea, just leading the way here.
Yeah. So as you have already mentioned, we are benchmarked against six success sectors. There's performance, funding, connectedness, market reach, knowledge and talent. So I think Beijing and Shanghai are just way ahead, right? And we can see that in the huge unicorns that they pump out year after year. Just in China alone, I believe there are more than 40 unicorns. Tokyo and Seoul are also quite close. And there are really various measurements that they have when they measure startup ecosystem development. I think it is already a challenge to try to maintain our position. And I am actually quite proud that despite all of the difficulties that we have against us as a small nation state with limited resources and limited manpower, and talent, we're already doing so well. I think we should really give ourselves a pat on the shoulders.
Yeah.
But while we do that, surely we ought to also be working on improving our standing, right? And improving the climate for startups and entrepreneurs here. So what's next? I mean, what do you think ought to be tackled most urgently right now?
So, yeah, so this is my personal opinion. I would say that Singapore has always had a narrative of being a well-connected hub, right? Whether it is in aviation or in trade, and I believe that the same narrative also applies in a startup ecosystem. Mm-hmm. As long as we are a well-integrated ecosystem, we will still be able to thrive and do very well. Because now you know, tech talents, they are everywhere. You don't have to hire them locally. You can hire them from anywhere, and companies everywhere are hiring from everywhere. So we need to be able to be the hub of all of that activity and still be able to draw startups to Singapore to land here at the HQ for whatever incentives and programs that we have that bring them here. And like understand really what are some of those challenges that the startups of today would face and help solve them from an ecosystem play. And as long as we keep doing that really well, I don't think that we are limited by the space or the talent pool that we have here, because I mean, we are really, really small when we compare ourselves to cities like Beijing and Shanghai. Yeah.
Tingru, I'm curious about the funding landscape right now. Is it easier these days for startups to get funding because you hear about unicorns making the news? And also in Singapore, we are soon to be getting SPAC listings. How much will that go towards helping the startup ecosystem here?
Yeah, I think if I were to quote a number from the report, I believe it was $26 billion across the world for early stage funding. There is a lot of money going around. The liquidity markets is going crazy. Even in private companies, you can even acquire shares of private companies through platforms like Forge, which is the company that my venture capital firm invested in. I'm also a partner in True Global Ventures. So they are funded by Temasek, and they sell shares of private companies on their platform to individual investors. And we see so much demand. Revenue has just grown 300%. In the last 6 months this year, as compared to the previous period, right? And there is no lack of liquidity. I guess the question here is, where do we see a funding gap across the life cycle of a company? I think we see we call it a valley of death between Series B and Series C, where, you know, when you get to Series B, your valuation is huge, and you are typically trying to raise maybe $100 million in the Asian context. Of course, a Series B in the US is $1 billion, for example, Sorare, which is a NFT soccer fantasy company, which I also invested in, raised $1 billion, you know, for Series B. But over here, we're looking at $100 million. And typically, even for VC here in Singapore, the local ones, the average fund size is about 100, 200, right? And they cannot bet the entire pot on a single company. So you're really depending on a few VCs to come together to put money together in a startup. And I feel like in Southeast Asia, that is a real challenge.
Any possible solutions to tackle this, or how to move forward on this, really?
Yeah, I think traditionally they have always seen, you know, the sovereign wealth funds or the financial institutions coming in as bigger investors to lead those deals. But in Series B, there is still some risk. In most Series B companies, they're not profitable because they're still chasing growth. And I think the government is doubling down on some of these investments. But at the same time, we must be aware of the risk that comes with such bets, because after all, it's just taxpayers' money. So I think there's a very fine balance to be played here.
One last thing, Tingru. We've also heard a lot of horror stories over the years. While the growth and the vibrance of the sector is exciting, we can't forget that sometimes things go wrong, right? There's sometimes dishonesty, fraud. I mean, young startup founders who never get the money from the investor who promised them a lot of money. Or recently, teenage entrepreneur Harsh Dalal, remember him? He made the Forbes 30 under 30 list for a startup that actually may not have existed at all. What is your advice to investors and founders in terms of navigating this landscape and, you know, protecting themselves or tackling these issues better?
I would say come to ACE, because we have a platform for investors. We have a lot of programs for investors. Really, we have called the Meet the VC session. We are also trying to build this platform where we match mentors to startups, and those mentors typically are also individual angels. There are so many initiatives, I cannot even finish mentioning all of them. There's also BANSEA, B-A-N-S-E-A, which is really an organization that brings together all angel investors. There's also Angel Central, run by De Xing and Xiao Ning, and they are also exited founders of a Singapore startup here. And it is very important to tap into the local ecosystem, whatever network it is, whether it's ACE, BANSEA, or Angel Central. Like, know the experts who are in the area who can sniff out anyone who is really a fraud. I think fraud can never really get away with storytelling, because they'll be caught out very simply by people who really know their stuff.
Right, right. So as long as you double and triple check their backgrounds, good for us, right? Good for the people who want to start a company right now. Thank you so much, Ching Ru, for explaining that and shedding light on the various initiatives you have in place. Lim Ching Ru, Interim CEO and Board Member of Action Community for Entrepreneurship.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.